Great to see families and generations of faith. One generation shall praise your works to another, scriptures say. And I'm really glad that baby dedications came on this day, because this is a historic day for us as a church. And my role week to week is typically to preach the Word of God. And that's the primary role that I have. I do have another role as your pastor, and that is to lead. And today is going to be more like leading than preaching. Because rather than preach a message from the Word of God, I want to share with you where I think God's leading us as a church, and where God is leading us as we've prayed this through. And I say my role, I get to be the spokesman, but behind me and behind all of this is the work of our elder board and a number of committees. You've heard us talk about our project in Erie. Today, you're going to see some of the initial plans and how it is that we're trusting God to see it become a reality in the next number of years. So this is a week unlike most of our weeks. And we are going to talk about our plans together as we think about our future. Next week, we'll be back in 2 Corinthians. There is a connection, though, between where we've been for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We spent 3 weeks in 2 Corinthians loving the text about chapter 8 and 9, talking about becoming increasingly grace-filled and generous people. Wasn't that wonderful? Come on now, wasn't it? Come on, it was. Because we heard about the principles of stewardship, that all that we have belongs to God, and we're happy to say to God, where do you want me to use the resources that you've given to me? Is there anything you want me to use with what is yours anyway? And we spent 3 weeks in that text. And then last week, we had a rich time in the Word of God thinking about prayer as the only answer for some of life's problems. And we all admitted that many of us have issues in our lives that are so great that unless God intervenes in our situation, we're not even sure what to do. And we want to be people who are committed to praying. Well, that's a really good place to jump off, because we're going to talk about moving this church into the next generation with a project that we need to have in order to fulfill the will of God, where we sense is His will for us, where we're asking, do you want to build something through Calvary Bible Church that will be a place for years to come where people can come and meet Christ? A training center where families can come and children can hear about the Lord, not just for an hour on Sunday morning, but there'll be a place in the Erie campus that will be there 24/7, a church with a capacity to bless our community and to reach people. We're really asking ourselves as a church, how do we optimize our ministry on this campus and the campus in Erie? How do we fulfill what God asks us to do as a church, to build the congregation of God's people deeply in faith and broadly in our outreach? How do we engage our community and help people come to know and love Christ, whom we know and love and seek to follow? This is a historic time for us, and it will help us to take a few minutes just to look back over our shoulder. But let me lead us in prayer, and then I want to show you some pictures of our history. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the next 30 minutes as we think about our life today as a church and our history and your blessings over time, that you will give to us a vision in our hearts for what you have in store for us as a congregation. And I pray that our hearts will move forward with real joy and faith and anticipation of God doing exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we could ask or think. And I pray that this will be an experience of our faith growing and of our thinking about what is your will for our lives, and that we would step in it with great joy. Thank you for all who have come before us to lead us to know Christ, to lead us to be in this place of worship this morning, to provide for us in ways that we often take for granted. But I pray today you'll do your work in our hearts to help us think about the generations to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Calvary Bible Church began in 1889. We became known then as the Swedish Christian Tabernacle. In about 1905, that was our first church building. The Swedish Christian Tabernacle. And there is one of our elders and standing next to it. But that was the first place we met. In this building, all of our services were in Swedish. Somewhere in the 50s, we moved from 17th and Spruce to Broadway and Balsam, a building that's still there. If you go by it right across from the hospital, this is what it looked like. And it was here in this building that we changed from Swedish to English. And then our services began to reach more people. We were in this facility for less than 25 years because we outgrew it. And families attended and grew, and we couldn't stay in this building anymore. And the decision was made by that congregation, we need a bigger place. And so in 1972, we bought this property, 10 acres here on Kalmia, and that's a 1970s picture of it. Before the leaves were on the trees and before color film was invented, there is that picture of this property that you're in right now. In 1998, we embarked on another project for this facility in which we said we need $3 million to build additional space in here. We built classrooms in the back in the fellowship hall. We redid this sanctuary in about 2000, and that was a $3 million project. And each of these transitions from 17th and Spruce to Broadway and Balsam to this property and then developing this property in the year 2000, they were steps of faith in which we said, should we go? I imagine the people at Broadway and Balsam said, should we really buy 10 acres on the edge of town on Kalmia? And fortunately, they said yes. And then every step that the church took, it allowed a greater number of people to call Calvary Bible Church home. In 2006, 5 years ago, when our attendance was about 1,000, we were seeing a lot of our members come from the city of Erie, and we said to our church, we think there's a strategic opportunity to plant a church in Erie because there is no large or even mid-sized church there, and a lot of you already live there, and in Superior, Louisville, Lafayette, you can't find land to plant a church there. It's simply too expensive, and the city governments there are not that enthused about having churches in those towns. We should get a church going in Erie before it's too late. And when we said that to our congregation, after praying it through, 200 of our members said, we'll go to Erie. And I remember when we were getting ready to plant that church, plant the campus at the high school, 200 people leaving. We were so excited until the very first day that they weren't here. And that was like, oh, what just happened? You know, 20% of our congregation just left. And they were all our, you know, a lot of our great workers and people who were totally committed, a pioneering spirit of people. And we began the second campus in Erie. And it has been a tremendous experience. Today, 450 people call Calvary Bible Church at Erie High School, their church home. 450. And it's a sweet experience to see them set up the high school every week. Sweet for us to look at. But they have to set it all up for church week to week. In January of this year, you know, perhaps, because we've told the story, but I really think it's important for all of us to know the history the best possible, you know, and to tell to the next generation what happened. January of this year, our campus pastor, Adrian, went in and met the mayor, and when he met the mayor, they had a conversation. He said, where are you meeting for church? He said, we're meeting in the high school, but we're trying to find land. We've been looking for land for 3 years. And the mayor told our campus pastor, Adrian, do you know that St. Vrain School has 11 acres and they're going to sell it? Adrian said, no. And the mayor said, well, of course you wouldn't know that because it's not for sale yet. But you should call Rick Ring, who's in charge of the facilities for St. Vrain School District. Adrian left the mayor, called Rick Ring. They set up an appointment. A couple days later, he's in Rick Ring's office. He walks in the door, and Rick Ring, who's in charge of all the facilities for St. Vrain School District, says, Adrian, great to see you. We really appreciate all that Calvary Bible Church has done through ShareFest over the years. They talked for 15 minutes about how much he loved ShareFest and what our church had done to help fix up the schools in St. Frank's School District. Then he said, oh yeah, we're going to put this land on the market, you should put a bid in. Now, we'd looked for 3 years. We looked at over 30 properties, and this was a beautiful 11-acre parcel of land that was, where is it? There it is, right there, 11 acres for $685,000. We put a bid in. They accepted it. We told you, we told God, and in April, May, and June, our congregation gave $685,000 to buy this in cash. I say to you, yeah, praise God. We give glory to God for that. And God saved the best piece of property for last, and today we own these 11 acres without any debt. And we have no debt here as a congregation. All of our debts are paid by Christ and at the bank, you know, for us as a congregation. And that's a great place to be in as we think about the next step. We want to build a permanent campus on this piece of land, a place where our members can worship and meet during the week and have children's ministries besides an hour on Sunday morning where women can gather during the week for Bible study to improve a place where the church can continue to grow in this place. We also want to build a part of this project to be here on this campus, a development of an atrium on the west side, which we're going to talk about in a moment, where we can have a gathering space and a connecting place, which I'll tell you about in just a few moments. The total size of the project is $5.2 million. Now, that's fairly big. Reference last week's message. There are some things that really can only be accounted for by God doing more than what we could imagine. That said, I will tell you that this next step for us as a church should not be thought of as being bigger than changing from Swedish to English. When we're comfortable with our thing, we say, you know what? I think we could reach more people if we started speaking English. Yeah? Sure, we can. Or from going from Broadway and Balsam to say, you know what, we should buy 10 acres at Kalmia. This next step for us is simply the next thing that God has led us over 122 years, and we really believe he's leading us now. It's not about the building, though. You need to hear me say, we don't believe that the church is comprised of buildings. Our plan for a facility is modest. We don't build cathedrals. We want to build into people. We believe that the most important thing about that which comprises the church is the individuals who love Christ and follow him. And sometimes we need a space to meet in because that helps facilitate the ministry. And we do believe that God would have us create a training ground, a place in Erie that would build families and build community and be a resource to the town of Erie. And we pray that 10 years from now, it will become a sending center, much like Calvary Bible Church in Boulder. And we dream of a day that the Erie campus might get so crowded that they would say, we should plant a church in Thornton or some other place around the area that doesn't have a work that needs another work. Now, we regularly get the question, after 5 years, why don't we just let the Erie campus be its own church? Why not just spin it off and let it be a church plant? We have thought about that. And early on, our approach to ministry is called the multi-site ministry, in which a primary church starts another campus but doesn't spin it off to be its own campus. Because early on it helped us appreciate some wins, including not asking that new campus to have all of its own administrative costs, printing costs, website, business administrator, communications director. All of the central services for our two campuses are primarily here on this campus. And by sharing those resources for administration, we're able to really let them do the work of the ministry. And I think that's why the church has grown to 450 people. It's an excellent means of developing leaders in a safe and sort of secure proven system. So we have seen the staff who have led the Erie campus grow. Pastor Adrian was a seminary graduate when he started, and we were sending the messages over by videotape except 5 or 6 or 7 times a year. Today, videotapes go about 5 or 6 times a year, and Adrian's preaching almost every Sunday morning. He and I work together on sermons. It creates some energy, synergy. He frequently tells me what I should say to you week to week. And we stimulate each other as we study the scriptures, and it just helps us build a real sense of camaraderie and team. There's a mutual and reciprocal relationship between our campuses. Pastor Gary, who grew up here on this campus and served this campus for 7 years, first as a volunteer, then as a youth director, then as a youth leader of the ministry, became the guy who heads our ministry for youth in Erie. But he oversees our youth workers on this campus, as well as our family ministry pastor and leader here. So Gary oversees all of that. We have a Men of Action ministry that Pastor Adrian from the Erie campus leads, in which 30 or 40 of our men help widows and single moms, many of whom are on this campus. It's a partner relationship through and through, and quite frankly, it's very invigorating for us to do together. Let me tell you one other stat about this. Church plants that happen in the United States have a 70% failure rate after 3 years. 70% of church plants fail, cease to exist within 3 years. The multi-site ministry strategy, which is somewhat safer, somewhat more long-term to get another campus under the umbrella of a long-established church, has a 90% success rate, 10% failure after 3 years. Quite frankly, it works. It's invigorating. It's been a real blessing for us. And I will tell you that I am committed to being at Calvary for the long term. Adrian Boykin is committed to being here for the long term. We see a tremendous opportunity to build the kingdom of God here, but we have some needs. I'm going to show you a couple pictures of what's going on today at the Erie campus. A couple months ago, we had baptism at Erie. What do you notice about baptism here? Okay, so there are only certain months of the year that we can do baptism in Colorado. And if, people come to Christ in November, December, January, February, March, we got to wait till the summertime because we don't have that. But they do baptisms outside as we do it right here. And, in the last two membership classes, over 40 people have joined the church. Many of them have become baptized and followers of Christ. The next picture I'm going to show you is our student ministries at the Erie campus. Today, Pastor Gary and his team ministered to about 100 high school students each week. Now, we don't have a place for them to meet, so they meet in homes, which is great. Some homes have 25-plus kids in them every Wednesday night, and they meet in those homes. But, if you're part of a youth group, you want to all be together once in a while because that just builds a little energy, and you say you're not alone. So they look for a place to have all the kids together. And that happens periodically in a rental space. This is Arapahoe Ridge Clubhouse, and there's 100 kids in this room. Now, there's a little sign outside the door, and it says, max occupancy, 75. So, 26 of those students know that when the fire marshal comes, they stand up and say, "We were just leaving." it's not ideal. It's not what we want. But so we're dreaming of a place where they can be in all week long. Let me show you the next picture. The next picture is of Sunday school at Erie High School. This is first through fifth grade meeting together. There are 50 to 60 kids who meet in class, first through fifth grade, together in the choir room. And some of our student classes meet in the chemistry lab next to the Bunsen burners. And they learn about Jesus in that setting. And they're in history rooms and they're in the hallway. And that's how the Erie campus sets up class week to week. And it's hard. There are issues related to that. And while we're using that facility, we are investing. It costs us about $78,000 a year to rent the high school and to rent another office space. We want to use those resources, we're thinking, for a facility that would be ours. Let me give you a little more history about Erie, too. In Erie, there are a number of small churches, and we're grateful for them. There are just a couple of Bible-teaching churches that have about 50 to 75 people in them. There is no medium to large-size
church campus in Erie, a town of 20,000. It is projected over the next 10 years that another 2,700 homes will be built. They've already been approved, and the Erie population will grow to 30,000. We just think this is a strategic opportunity to have a Bible-teaching church in this town as it begins to grow. And it's a long-term opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom of God. We know that's coming. Now back to this statistic about multi-site and church plants. While you're thinking about what we're praying to do, since we've been meeting in Erie High School, 6 church plants have started and stopped. Meeting in schools, clubhouses, and other places in Erie. It's hard to be a church plant. And they've stopped because the resources have dried up. And we want there to be in this place, in this city, a strong fellowship that's sustainable, that has history, that can stay in Erie and know that it's partnering with a church in Boulder. We're one church in 2 locations that has not a temporary feel, but we're going to be there to bless the community, to build bridges to people, and to reach people for Christ. We dream of a day 25 years from now that there's a campus in Erie that's filled with people who say to each other, I am so thankful that in 2011, Calvary Bible Church in Boulder and Erie committed to building this building because my kids have come into this building. My grandkids have come into this building and found Christ. And they will be the generation 25 years from now who are thinking about 25 years from then and what does God want us to do. We just really feel like this is our next step. Oh, what's it going to look like? Let me show you a picture of what's in our mind for the campus in Erie. What you're going to see is a quick flyby of an architectural rendering. What's in our mind as a possible conception of what our church on these 11 acres might look like. It's a rendering from our architect that matches our community of Erie, with room for kids and students and a worship center. You can tell that the architecture, as we're thinking about it, matches some of the other real estate, like the rec center and the library and other buildings in town, that it fits into our community because we want to be a part of Erie, to be a blessing to the city and to the town of Erie. It has a capacity in the worship center of about 500 to 600 seats with potential expansion for more. And the total square foot that we're thinking of now is 24,000. It's a little dependent upon what happens with the resources that we're thinking of. But you can see that it's going to be a beautiful space that will capitalize on the space outside of the room too. With the area, because a lot of days it's nice enough to be outside. We do hope the baptism will be inside in that building. And you can see some of the details on that. That's the biggest part of our project. While we were thinking about doing this project, we also said, you know, I think it's important because we're one church in 2 locations and we have needs here at this campus and we don't want to come back to the congregation in a year or two, that we would do the Boulder project at the same time. So a fraction of this project is what we envision would be at the Boulder campus. A strategic meeting place, but we're just calling at this point the atrium, where we can have a centralized entrance, particularly to welcome in new people, and a place where people can connect, learn about our church, and through which we can minister to the community. If you have found your way around Calvary, having been here for a few weeks or months or years, and you know your way around, you deserve a medal, and we'll give it to you right after the service. We have 6 or 7 entrances to get into this building, and if you're a new person, it's not easy to find out where to go. And if you find your way to the cafe, which is down in the gym, you know, we envision this atrium being a place where right outside here, you could, an easy welcome, an easy entry for new people. Those of us who are nowhere around may pick the other entrances, but all of our visitors and guests would come in here. This would be our new cafe. This would be the place that we could host some of our dinners and big events that we might do for people, a beautiful entryway. And the flow of the service might normally then go out there and into the rest of the building so that we can develop the kind of community and connection and a place to linger in our church that we don't currently have. And I pray that you can see that and see that these two projects together are going to comprise our next step. I have to hurry to tell you, okay, so what does this mean? What is the financial picture? I've already said $5.2 million. And the way we get to that is this. We have talked to a number of professional fundraisers who said that a normal formula for a church that's healthy like ours is to take your operating budget and multiply it by 2 to 3 times, and a congregation normally can provide that over a 3-year commitment beyond the normal giving to the operations of the church. Our operating budget is about 2.2. And so we took a conservative route to that and said about 5.5 is the budget that we're going to work within. 80% of that figure is going to go to the Erie campus, and about 20% of it here to the needs of this campus for the project that we've just talked about. The way it breaks down is this, is that the Erie project needs about $1 million of commitment for the land development, for sidewalk, for burying, electrical, and other improvements to the facility itself, and then about $3.2 million for the building on that piece of property, and then about $1 million for the project here at Boulder. At least that's sort of what we're thinking. The way it's going to flow for us as a church is that we are committed to being good stewards and to being conservative in our approach to financing this project. We understand the economic times we're in. We know that. I would say that it's a good time to build because of building costs, but we are going to be very cautious, and we're not going to proceed in a place that gets us in trouble financially in debt. We're committed to that. And we've been without debt for a long time. We're willing to live with a certain point, but this is the way we're going to sequence this project. We will not begin building in Erie until we have received $2 million in cash and have another $1 million in commitments, and then we'll begin that building project. The remaining $2 million, we have said, the elders have said, we could live with a mortgage on that amount, but not more. We'd like it to be none. And we pray that it'll come in such a way that we won't have to mortgage any. Wouldn't that be great? If you'd like to write a check this morning, you know, we're ready. But we're praying that over the next 3 years, that's the way that plan will unfold. And we will spend that money in that way, first for the Erie project, and then for the Boulder project. Let's see, what's next? Okay, your next step. Remember what we just talked about on stewardship? We really want grace to be our response here. We're telling God, and we're telling you, and we will not talk about this every Sunday morning. Next week we're back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11. But we do think this is what God wants us to do. And we're going to go prayerfully and say, this is what we pray we'll do. Here's what you're going to get today. Today when you leave church, you're going to get a packet. We ask you to just take one per family. It's called Our Next Step. Inside there's a brochure, and there's some information there that we're going to ask you to read over. And we're going to ask that you would pray about it, just ask God to lead you, and then you're going to turn in a commitment card. And the commitment card is simply a way for us to know how the congregation is responding and how we're leading. While we think this is the Lord's will for us, you know, you're going to confirm that by your saying, okay, yeah, I'm in, and this is what we're going to do. And you know the sequence of where we're headed. The commitment card is not considered by us to be a promissory note, but a guide for us as a church to say, okay, we know how we're going to proceed. Additionally, if you've been around Calvary or if you're new here, I say to you, we are very confidential in your giving. And when you turn this in, there'll be two people, an accountant and a business administrator, who know who does what. I don't know what anybody gives. I don't want to know what anybody gives. It's confidential. It's between you and the Lord. It will help us make our plans if we know how the congregation is responding to us. And we would ask that you take this and do two things. Here's what I think I can give before the end of December. And here's what I think I can give in 2012 and 2013. And then we're going to proceed and say, okay, we're off. And we're going to start making plans to go down this road. And again, I want you to really give out of a sense of grace. Lucy and I have not fully decided what we're going to do on this, but this is what we know. What we do will be sacrificial. And by that I mean we regularly give to the ministry of Calvary, and what we're talking about here is sort of beyond what we normally give, beyond our operating budget for a church. This is above and beyond that. We still need to keep the regular ministry going. And I know that when Lucy and I make that, I may swallow hard when I write that check. But I'm committed to seeing this through. And I really believe this is what God wants for us. Now, I was talking to my financial advisor this morning before church. And Lucy said to me, there aren't many places where you can put your money and get much of a return on it right now. But this is a big return. I thought, that's why I married you. This is an eternal reward. This is where you lay up treasure in heaven. This is where eternal things happen when we say, I think this is a step, and it definitely requires faith. We definitely have to walk ahead in faith in this, but we're going to trust God for it and move ahead and just say, Lord, guide our steps. Now, this is the verse we're going to close with this morning. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. I want our next step to be filled with joy. No guilt, no compulsion, no sense of, oh, I have to. I want you to be alert in this project with thanksgiving to God. And I hope you'll be saying to yourself, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but it's going to be awesome. And that's the way we're going to move forward. It's going to be awesome. And God, you do your work in our hearts to do just what it is you want to do in us. And then we're going to go. And I promise you, we will not pound this from the pulpit. I usually preach from the Bible, you know, right? This is a different one because we're leading. We're moving together as a church. But I ask you to pray for us as we move, as I will be praying for you, that you will be led of God to respond in the way that He leads us. This is His church. This is His project. Ours are His resources. He will make it possible. Do you believe that? Please say amen. I really believe God's going to do that. All right, let's pray together. Let's pray. God, I pray today that you will begin to do your work in our hearts to help us think about what it is you want us to do for our next step in this project. And I pray that the outcome will be the input of God into our hearts to help us freely respond to you in a way that brings you glory and accomplishes your will on the earth. I'm so thankful that right now, while we're closing here, there are 400 people who are closing a service in Erie, many of whom have come to Christ there, and there are hundreds more people there and here in this community that you want to reach for Christ. And I pray you'll give us an increasing vision in our hearts and minds for how we can do just that. And I pray, God, that you will do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we've already asked for and what we're already thinking. And I pray that this will happen so that it may clearly, clearly be seen that this is not a work of man. This is not good planning of people who knew exactly what to do. We admit to you, God, we don't often know exactly what to do next. But you are God and you alone, and you're able to do what we can't imagine. And so I pray that you'll do it for the glory that'll be yours and the joy that'll be ours in walking in step with you. To you be glory now and forevermore in your church, we all pray. Amen.